I'm a 78-year-old retired car salesman living in a suburban area of Chicago, Illinois. After my wife passed away, I moved in with my son and saw a lot of stuff I never would have expected. I just didn't want to be lonely. But my son knew I was hard of mobility and still put me up in the bedroom upstairs. I've basically lived in this bedroom, and for the most part I only get up to use the bathroom down the hall. But as much as I hate to say it, I guess I was too depressed after the passing of my wife to get on my son's back about letting me live downstairs. He would probably never budge anyway. He's got a job and a whole family of his own, so he's too busy to even think about the old cadre wasting away upstairs. Sometimes I wonder if they've all forgotten about me. They barely come into my room to talk to me anyway, and it's getting to be more and more that the people in my TV shows feel like closer friends than my own son and grandkids. They get so bored that I even spy on my neighbors just to have something to do. My bed is close enough to the window that I can see into their backyard without getting up. For a few years, I think I saw more of that family than I did my own. It was a middle-aged guy named Mike, who was living with his mother and sister. Well, I don't know who owned the property, but I figured it was Mike's based on what I ended up seeing happen there. I swear, those folks seemed nice on the outset. Nothing to evoke suspicion, just quaint, happy little lives that made me feel more comfortable in my own boring, bedridden existence. I'd seen them talk to each other on their back porch in the evenings or go out gardening in the mornings, and I never heard anything unusual for the longest time. That was until a couple years after I moved in, around Christmas time. I had just turned off the TV and was turning into sleep for the night when I heard people arguing.
Go to hell, you stupid tramp! You're a sorry piece of crap!
The voices weren't familiar, so I knew it was coming from next door. At some point, the shouting became screaming, and I started hearing all sorts of other noises going along with it. Door slamming, glass breaking, loud thuds, the whole business. Then, it all just stopped. I was tired, so I assumed it was just an argument that ran itself out of steam. But I had a nagging feeling about it that played with my sleep. Some hours later, at what turned out to be 4 a.m., I was woken up by more noises. I looked out my window and saw Mike in the backyard. I had no idea what he was doing, but he was in a Grinch costume hauling some big Christmas sack to the tree by the garden shed. Then he opened the shed and grabbed a shovel and started digging, and I realized he was burying that bag in the frozen dirt. I didn't know what to think of it. It must have taken him an entire 30 minutes before he finished and went back inside his house. The only thing I could think was that he was some hyper-dedicated geezer playing the role of the Grinch, trying to hide some stolen donations from an orphanage or something. I don't know. I'd always thought he was a nice guy, so there was no explanation that sat right with me. I waited until morning to tell my son. Of course, he didn't believe me. He thought I was just a crazy old coot, and so did everybody else in the house. And with nobody to back me up, I started to believe that. I ended up brushing it aside and forgetting about it. The weird thing about it, though, was that I never saw the neighbor's mother ever again. She was the one who always tended the garden. But after all that happened, she was never there to take care of the plants. However, I still saw Mike and his sister outside on the porch from time to time, but they never looked quite as happy. After a while, everything went back to normal, until about 4 years later. After so much time, my son tried befriending his neighbors. He would always try to talk to them, but they would just give him a gaunt stare and say nothing, eventually going back inside the house. Both of them, the brother and sister, were definitely a weird bunch. But things got a little more disturbing right around Christmas, just like before. It seemed like it was happening all over again. There was shouting, then screaming, then a tussle and a thud, then a sudden silence. This time, I stayed up to watch. This all happening twice was way too strange for me to sleep on it. It was right around 4 in the morning again. I stood up out of my bed to get a closer look out the window. I could see him coming out the back door. He was again dressed as the Grinch, dragging a big bag of something to the tree and burying it under the dirt. That's when, out of nowhere, Mike turned his head and looked straight into my window. I quickly closed the blinds, but he had already seen me. A few minutes later, I couldn't help but peek. And what else did I see but the man himself in the window right across from mine, still in costume, glaring at me. I tried to act casual and play it off, so I opened the window and tried to make conversation across the way.
Nice Grinch outfit. Thanks, buddy. Nice night out too, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
So, what are you doing up so late?
That's when Mike stares at me, not saying a word.
Anyway, have a good rest of your night.
Merry Christmas.
Then, Mike waves his hand by, and in that moment, I saw a flash of blood soaked into the palm of his hand. Right away, he realized he made a mistake and tried to cover for it by closing the blinds immediately, but it was too late. I laid starkly awake all night after that, worried with anxious thoughts about what the reason for that bloody hand could have been from. The only conclusion I could reach was that he'd taken the life of his mother and sister and buried them in the backyard to keep it a secret. I didn't bother telling my son because I knew he would just brush me off, so I eventually called the cops. By morning, the cops were out in front of Mike's house, and he was immediately apprehended. Turns out that Mike's mother died in an altercation with his sister, and he helped her cover it up. Over the years, the sister had gotten ill and eventually died young. As for why he wanted to bury her in the backyard too, it was alleged that he did it for financial reasons. Just goes to show what people will do when money is tight. But if you ask me, I think the cops barely got half the truth out of that guy. I bet something way worse happened inside that house. The story was inspired by a downright terrifying incident that happened in Chicago, Illinois. Here's the photograph of the quote-unquote Grinch. A man named Michael, who was 45 years old at the time. He has since been charged with concealing the deaths of the deceased family members mentioned in the story of his backyard.
It's been arduous raising my daughter as a single parent. After all, she was abandoned by her very own mother. Damn that hoe. When my daughter was only a year old, my wife left us for another man coming from an affluent family. So, every night, I prayed for that wretched witch to burn. However, the Christmas season is usually when I try to keep the darkness to myself and allow my daughter to enjoy the holidays. And so, on a Black Friday, I dropped by Walmart to buy a Christmas tree with my daughter. It was packed like hell, like vultures that only care about what they can get. Everyone grabbed appliances left and right. Some were pulling each other's hair, while others stepped on those lying flat on the ground, heedless of their screams. I scurried towards the tree section, where there were two large Christmas trees amidst a bunch of small shitty trees, and one of them seemed to have caught my eye. There was something about it that made it look a little more interesting than the rest, and so I went in for a closer look. However, as I started tugging on the leaves to check what material was used, I was cussed out, not by someone in pursuit of the tree, but by this enigmatic green person in front of me.
What the hell is your problem?
The man said as he shoved me to the ground.
I'm sorry, man. You just blended in with the trees. I was going to buy the last big tree.
Having a close resemblance to the Grinch, his brows furrowed, and with sharp teeth, he grinned and replied.
Well, whoever told you this was your tree? It's mine, you hear me? One step out of line, I'll grab some of yours and squish it!
As I got my bearings, I stood up saying,
excuse me? I didn't catch that. Did you say your tree?
That's right, Buster. So, if you're looking for a big one, then go get your tree from the forest!
Unable to tolerate this unfathomable behavior, I stood my ground, letting him know that I was determined to buy this tree. My little girl was frightened, her body trembling as she said,
Dad, can we go now?
Not yet, sweetie. This is only gonna take a minute.
Is that what you told your wife? Now get the hell out of my way!
The Grinch then grabbed me by my collar and slammed me across the floor, from one side to the other like a rag doll. Disorientated, I felt that if the Grinch didn't stop, it would be the end of me. Hence, I hollered calling out to security, and when they finally came, I told them about the Grinch and how he violated my rights. There were three of them and just one of him, and so, the security team warned him that if he remained conspicuous, they would have no choice but to report him to the cops and have him apprehended. It was evident that the man was furious, and eventually walked away as he grumbled incomprehensibly. I couldn't help but feel victorious when I grabbed the last big tree and finally bought it. When we arrived home, my daughter and I set up the tree together, and on Christmas Eve, we watched a heartwarming film next to the fireplace as the fire popped and crackled. Then, while my daughter waited for Santa to arrive, I noticed her head bobbing and eyelids slowly drooping. That's when I decided to take her to bed, convincing her that all her presents would appear underneath the Christmas tree the following morning. But this time, my daughter wasn't the only one yawning. I too was feeling drowsy, and so we headed back upstairs, tucking her in before returning to my bedroom, instantly hitting the sack. Later that night, I woke up to the sound of heavy footsteps coming from downstairs. But aside from the heavy steps, I heard screeching noises that gave me chills. What the hell was that? I muttered to myself. When I got up to check the time on my watch, I saw that it was 3 a.m. I couldn't go back to bed. Curious about the sounds, I got up and swung the door open. I noticed something odd coming from my daughter's room. The door to her bedroom was open, so I assumed she was the one making the noises downstairs. But then, I quickly realized that there was someone else down there when I heard a male's voice coming from the living room.
Stupid tree! Should have relinquished it while I had the chance!
The moderate tempo of my heartbeat accelerated as the noises grew disturbingly louder and more bizarre. Hence, I sprinted down the stairs and saw with my own eyes the same man I met at Walmart from before. It was the Grinch, with his filthy green complexion and sinister grin, and with him was a sack full of stuff he might have stolen from me. He carried it on his shoulder as he also dragged the Christmas tree toward the front door.
"Hey, stop right there!"
I hollered, making every attempt to intimidate him.
"I'm armed. If you know what's good for you, put that down."
"Then pull up! I dare you to square up, you little shit! This is my tree now! You ain't gonna ruin my Christmas this year, pal!"
I gulped, afraid to get myself in trouble again, or worse, be killed. Hence, I allowed him to get away with it, hoping my surveillance cameras were all in good condition so that I could provide enough evidence of this psycho barging into my home. As he drove off in his truck, I called the cops, telling them everything that had transpired. The worst part is that he didn't even have a license plate.
"Damn it, all this trouble for a stupid tree,"
I said in frustration. I locked all the doors and waited for the cops to arrive, and once they came, they checked everywhere downstairs, including the rooms upstairs, in search of clues that could identify the suspect. Then suddenly, my heart sank upon noticing that my daughter was nowhere to be found. She wasn't in her room hiding, nor was she in the kitchen.
"Lisa? Honey? Lisa?"
I frantically called out her name, but she never answered back. That's when I concluded that my daughter may have been in that sack the man was carrying on his shoulder. Of course, the cops promised to investigate and fill me in on the details. However, as time passed, the case went cold, and since then, I've had to spend Christmas alone with nothing but mere pictures to remind me of my daughter.
This story is from the perspective of a woman. I'm a single mother of a young teenage boy. I'm very busy with work, which means we don't have a lot of opportunities for quality time. So I like to take him with me when I go out to run errands and go shopping and whatnot. This last Christmas Eve, I took my son to the mall. Obviously, the whole place was a madhouse, but there were holiday deals and discounts all across the board, so I braved the chaos. I got my son to play a game of sorts where we both look for the best price cuts and bonus points for anything that could be bought with food stamps. Unfortunately, he didn't find it that interesting. He played along for a little bit so I wouldn't feel bad, because he's a sweet boy. But he's definitely getting to be too old to be duped into things like that. Or at least, I thought he was maturing. I was in the Foot Locker when I realized I lost him. I immediately left to go searching. That's when I noticed a giant crowd forming outside the store. I headed out to see what the commotion was about, and there stood a man dressed up as the Grinch. I'd never seen a costume so accurate to the Jim Carrey Grinch like that before. All I knew was that this guy fit the bill if Hollywood ever needed to hire a Grinch actor. I then spotted my son waiting in line to go up and get a picture with him. I started to scold him for running off and wanted to drag him back inside, but he turned out to be far more interested in getting that picture than I thought.
"Jamie, where have you been? You can't just run off like that. What if somebody took you?"
"I'm sorry, Mom. I wanted to take a picture with the Grinch."
"How about Santa? He seems lame."
"I want a pic with the Grinch, not Santa! If I wanted a pic with Santa, I would have just took a pic with your ex!"
I took the time out of my schedule to give my son what he wanted. The whole time we were in line, I was looking at the Grinch character. Something deep down inside me made me not trust him. He kept glancing over at us the whole time, despite the large crowd hovering around him. What made things even more strange was how he didn't break eye contact. He just kept looking at us while other folks took photos with him. I was slowly warming up to the whole idea of actually meeting him, but that's about when things started getting really weird. When it was my son's turn to get a photograph, the Grinch sat down by the bench and instructed my son to sit on his lap. despite taking standing shoulder-to-shoulder photos with every other person.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. What's your name, little boy?
My name is Jamie.
Jamie, you don't have to sit on his lap if you don't want to.
It's okay, Mom. I want to.
Are you sure?
Are you deaf, lady? He said he wants to!
I was completely taken aback. I wanted to bite his head off when he snapped at me like that. Everyone around us thought it was amusing, making me the laughingstock of them all. I didn't want to look like a Karen or something. So instead of freaking out right then and there, I did what I had to do to keep it together. But I made sure to stay within 3 feet of them.
So, little boy, how have you been?
What?
I said, how have you been? How's it going, kid?
I mean, it's good, but aren't you supposed to ask me what I want for Christmas?
What do you think this is, some kind of charity? I'm the Grinch, not Santa. You've been hanging out with your ho mom too much. She probably gets Christmas gifts every day with that dump truck.
I think I want to go now.
I'll get you what you want for Christmas. I know what it is already. You want to get rid of that helicopter mom over there, right?
What? No, let me go.
Where do you think you're going, you little weasel?
Let him go, you freak!
I slapped the creep right in the face. I grabbed my son and we got the hell out of there. Nobody in the crowd got in our way. They made room for us, actually. I guess their tune changed when they saw the way that man was interacting with my son. We didn't go back into the mall. We went straight for the car. When we got there, I was so worked up about the whole thing that I had to let my heart settle for a second before I could even think about driving away. I then said to my son,
"Are you okay, Jamie?"
He was about to answer.
But then I heard the most blood-curdling scream a mother could ever hear. I looked up from my hands and saw in the rearview mirror that somebody had yanked Jamie right out of the backseat of my car. I literally screamed from the top of my lungs. That's when I realized the same green bastard was attempting to kidnap my son. I rushed out, stunned as the man stuffed Jamie into the backseat of his car. I tried to pull him off, but he was unhinged. With one blow, he pushed me away and knocked the wind out of me. I watched in horror as he slammed the door and drove off with my son. I immediately got up and started to scream and holler, desperately trying to get the whole parking lot's attention. Then, one of the security officers raced past me in their car and made a beeline straight for them, going way too fast to stop. That's when they collided with the kidnapper who was making a left turn, causing him to spin out to a halting stop. The security officer stumbled out of his car, clearly dazed by the impact, but he still kept going like some kind of retired cop. He apprehended the man while I ran over to make sure my son was okay. He was a little shaken up by the crash, but thankfully, he only had a few minor scratches and bruises. But as it turns out, that man that kidnapped my son was his own father, my worthless ex-husband. He put together the whole plan, following me around to see where I went, posing as the Grinch. The scumbag knew our son's favorite Christmas movie and tried to use it against us because he disagreed with the court's decision to give me full custody. But after that little stuff, his son will be an adult by the time he gets out of prison. That's what the dirtbag gets for putting his son through a traumatic experience on Christmas Eve. The story was inspired by a case that happened on Christmas Eve. A distraught father used a tracking device to follow his ex-partner to a shopping center. He then blocked her car in and grabbed their child in a sinister and disturbing attempt to take him out of the country.